Attorney General William Barr directed the Federal Bureau of Prisons to schedule and resume executions at the federal level for inmates on death row. It would be the first time in roughly 16 years that the federal government has executed an inmate. The federal death penalty was established in 1988. Only three death row inmates have been executed between then and 2003, according to the Death Penalty Information Center. If Barr's mandate proceeds, five inmates would be executed beginning in December. Opponents of the death penalty point to issues like faulty evidence and racial bias in death penalty cases. Those in favor argue that the families and victims are owed justice. Austin Serrett is the William Nelson Cromwell Professor of Jurisprudence and Political Science at Amherst College. He's the author of the book Gruesome Spectacles, Botched Executions and America's Death Penalty. Austin, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Talk about the federal death penalty. It's been on hold. We never officially got rid of it, but it's been on hold for a number of years. Why is that?
Well, it's been on hold for a couple of reasons. After the botched execution of Clayton Lockett in Oklahoma in 2014, that was a state execution, not a federal execution. Barack Obama asked the Justice Department to do a comprehensive study of capital punishment at the federal level and directed them not to go forward with any executions during the time when that study was being done. There was also a question about whether the federal government could obtain the drugs necessary to carry out a lethal injection.
And that's part of the change here now from the Justice Department. They're moving toward using one particular drug that's being used in some states instead of a, I believe, combination of three different execution drugs. Is that right?
That's right. Their proposal is to move to a one-drug protocol, away from the three-drug protocol. And one-drug protocols are in use in, I think, three states. They are somewhat controversial. It's not a proven and reliable way of carrying out a lethal injection.
Do we have a sense as to why the Justice Department is looking at bringing the death penalty back now?
Well, if you take Attorney General Barr's words on their face, he said they're doing it to vindicate the claims of the rule of law. The federal statutes allow for the death penalty, and he says in going forward with them, what he's doing is vindicating those statutes. But I think there's something else that's certainly in play, and that is by resuming the federal death penalty, what Barr and President Trump are doing is, I think, seen more really through the lens of politics as a better way of understanding it than through the lens of law. I think they're starting the federal death penalty again or restarting it in order to provide a kind of red meat to Trump's base.
Now, we've seen a big trend away from the death penalty in states around the country, including along with that federal hiatus in the death penalty. One reason, the botched executions that you mentioned, and we can get into that more. Also, concerns about racial bias and innocent people, in hindsight, having been executed. Can you talk about some of the trends that have led to more states turning away from the death penalty?
Sure. I think the national conversation about capital punishment has changed and changed dramatically in the last couple of decades. The conversation about capital punishment has moved away from what I would call abstract philosophical questions and towards really examining the practical realities of the way the death penalty is carried out. Increasingly, I think, at the state level and really reflected in national public opinion polls, people are concerned that whatever the merits of the death penalty in some abstract philosophical conversation, the ways in which it is carried out violate or conflict with some important American values. So if you look at the death penalty system up close, what you find is that more than 150 people have been sent to death row and then subsequently exonerated. There's real evidence that race plays an important role in who gets death sentences. And then what we know is that the technologies of executing people are unreliable. So you can be in favor of the death penalty, but say I'm against executing people who are innocent, or you can be in favor of the death penalty, but say I'm against executing people because of their race or the race of the victim. And more, I think those practical realities are carrying the national conversation about capital punishment.
Talking to Austin Serrett from Amherst College, looking at the federal government, the Justice Department move to bring back the death penalty at the federal level. We heard from Gina on Facebook, who says her opinion has changed over time when it comes to the death penalty. Gina says, I supported capital punishment until I recognized that the system isn't infallible, being that it's comprised of humans, and the fact that communities and people of color are policed, charged, and sentenced with a much heavier hand. This wasn't a recent revelation, to be clear, Gina says. And that reflects the trend that you were just talking about, doesn't it?
That's absolutely right. And there's substantial evidence that the problem of race or racial bias, which we know to play an important role at the state level, also has in the past affected federal death sentencing. Between 1995 and 2000, roughly 80% of all federal capital cases that were recommended by United States attorney to the attorney general seeking authorization to go forward with a death penalty were those cases were brought against people of color. And today, 42%, roughly 42% of the inmates on the federal death row are African American. So the issue of race is as present and problematic at the level of the federal death penalty as it has been at the level of the death penalty in the states.
In making this announcement, the Justice Department highlighted five individuals, people who would likely be executed, and detailed fairly heinous crimes. We heard from Missy on Facebook, who says, when someone goes in and shoots an area full of people, terrorists, premeditated murders, serial killers, people who starve or kill children and elderly, Missy writes, they'll never rehabilitate. They don't deserve to live. They had a chance at life. They chose the wrong route. Why should they live? Why should we pay to house them? They had a choice, Missy says. And that's not an uncommon attitude. There's still, in some polls, at least a majority of Americans do support capital punishment in some cases.
That's right. The public support for the death penalty, roughly about 54% of the American public favors the death penalty. And again, the way in which your listener has expressed it, I think is very powerful and very important. The question is not what someone deserves in a kind of, again, abstract moral or philosophical sense. The question is, what do we do when we punish? Do we want to have a system of execution which risks executing the innocent? Do we want to have a system of capital punishment which seems to fall disproportionately on racial minorities? And there's a kind of irony for the federal government, especially for conservatives who have for a long time advocated that we respect the states and what they would call states' rights, in that six of the people on federal death row, of the 62 who are on federal death row, committed their crimes in states that themselves do not have a death penalty. So when the federal government goes into a place like that, what the federal government is doing is imposing on the values and beliefs of the people of those states, which states have rejected capital punishment.
And that's an interesting point. Here in Wisconsin, we don't have the death penalty, but this is still an issue for us because, hypothetically at least, someone could be sentenced to capital punishment in a federal court here in Wisconsin. Is that right?
That is exactly right. I live in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is also a state that doesn't have the death penalty. Two of the people presently on the federal death row were tried and sentenced to death in a federal court in the state of Massachusetts.
Talking to Austin Serrett right now about the decision to reinstate the death penalty at the federal level. He's a professor of jurisprudence and political science at Amherst College. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the federal government moving to carry out executions starting toward the end of this year? Are you for or against the death penalty, against capital punishment? What questions do you have our guest about the past and present and maybe future of capital punishment? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about the decision to reinstate the federal death penalty with Austin Sarrett, professor of jurisprudence and political science at Amherst College. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the death penalty? What do you think about the attorney general's decision to bring it back at the federal level? Do you support it? Why or why not? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Austin, you mentioned that part of the reason people turned against the death penalty was partly because of concern over botched executions. You've written a whole book about this. Can you talk about why we initially moved to lethal injections compared to what we'd had before? First hanging and then, I believe, the electric chair.
So if you look at the history of the American death penalty going back to the beginning of the 20th century, you could roughly say that what the United States has done is to try to find a method of execution that would be safe, reliable, and humane. The electric chair was thought to be safer, more reliable, and more humane than hanging. The gas chamber was thought to be safer, more reliable, and a better technology than the electric chair. And in the late 1970s, lethal injection was brought in as, a substitute which was thought to be better than the others. The same promises have been made about the electric chair, about the gas chamber, and then about lethal injection. And each one of them has been shown to be deeply flawed. It's as if we're looking for a kind of technological magic bullet that would allow us to use the death penalty and do so in a way that is compatible with the Constitution's prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment. We haven't yet found that technology, and I'm not sure that we're ever going to.
Let's bring on a caller now. Lou is with us in Green Bay. Lou, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Well, I was just wanting to touch on what the guest was talking about as far as racial and political motivations for capital punishment. And I was just wondering if those numbers are somewhat skewed or disingenuous as far as being disproportionate, but only because there's also a disproportionate number of crimes within a certain ethnicity and, being represented as being something that is targeted due to race is kind of, I think, maybe not following the data correctly.
Lou, thanks for the call. Lou saying, I guess, if a particular group, in this case African-Americans, commit more crimes, it's not a disparity if more end up on death row, Austin.
Well, African-Americans do not commit 80% of the murders in the United States. If 80% of the cases that are referred for a death penalty in the federal system are directed against African-Americans, it's not because they're committing that percentage of the crimes. And actually, studies have shown that the best predictor of whether or not someone will get a death sentence, everything else to the contrary notwithstanding, is the race of their victim. You're much more likely to get a death sentence, regardless of your race, if you murder a white person, much more likely to have that happen than if you murder a person of color. So I don't think I don't think this is really just a matter of, a proportion in relationship to a crime rate. I think the evidence is really quite compelling that the death penalty is imposed disproportionately for racial reasons.
Thanks for that call. One argument, Austin, people used to make, I don't know that I've heard it as much anymore, is that the death penalty acts as a deterrent for future crimes. Do we have evidence one way or the other on that?
Well, the deterrence argument has been a longstanding one, as you indicated. There are some statistical studies, which suggest that the death penalty is a greater deterrent to a crime than life imprisonment without parole. But I think those studies have been really largely discredited. There is no reliable evidence that the death penalty makes us a safer society. Indeed, Wisconsin does not have the death penalty. I dare say the crime rate in Wisconsin is lower than it has been in the state of Illinois, which up until recently did have the death penalty. So I think the deterrence argument, it's appealing at the logical level, but when you actually look at it, it kind of falls apart. For someone to be deterred by a death sentence, they would have to be rationally calculating the chance that they're going to be arrested, the chance that they're going to be prosecuted, and the chance that they're going to be charged with a capital offense. Most of the crimes that end up with on death row, I don't think, involve that kind of rational calculus. Someone is just overwhelmed with emotion and carries out a gruesome crime. They're not calculating in some mathematical way the chances that they're going to be caught and prosecuted and sentenced to death.
Talking to Austin Sarrett, professor of jurisprudence and political science at Amherst College, about capital punishment as the Justice Department moves to bring back the death penalty for certain federal inmates on death row. Back to your calls now. Dave is with us in Sussex. Dave, hello.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, when I was younger, I used to believe that the death penalty would be a strong deterrent against serious crimes. But as I get older, I realize that that's really not the case. And you get a little wiser in your older age. And your first caller, I think, stole a little bit of my thunder as far as the injustice against or across racial divide. I think you need to, in order to put any water in those buckets, you need to kind of look at a little more of a comparison on the ratio of people that are committing crimes as opposed to being on death row. But more so, I've been taught through my life that man does not have the right to take the life of another human being. That's left up to God and God alone. So for us to think that we have that right, it's completely wrong, because people do get wrongly accused, and there are fates worse than death.
Dave, thanks for the call. Dave has changed his views over time. Austin ultimately coming down, he says, to a moral argument.
Well, I do think there are people that feel that the death penalty ought to be talked about as a moral argument. That's a complicated argument for people who want to make it. The position of the Catholic Church, hardly thought of as a bastion of left-wing activism, is quite strongly against the death penalty on moral grounds. So I think if you want to think about it that way, surely there are grounds for doubting at the moral level the appropriateness of capital punishment. But as I was suggesting before, I think most of the argument in the United States today is not being carried out at that level. If you look at what's happened to death sentences in the United States, they've dropped dramatically. In 1996, 315 people were sentenced to death in the United States. Last year, it was 43. And I think most of that change is not because people have changed their views about the moral question. I think most of that change is because people have come to realize that whatever our moral beliefs about capital punishment, the ways in which it is administered betrays and threatens important American values.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Nancy with us now in Dallas. Nancy, hi. Nancy, are you there? I don't think we have Nancy. We'll try Ron in Sussex then. Ron, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What do you think, Ron?
I am definitely for the death penalty. I'm 72 years old. I listen to different things, moral ground. Well, the people that perpetrate some of the heinous murders that have gone on, why should there be compassion shown for them? There's no moral way or good way to kill somebody. But firing squad works good. Beheading somebody if you're worried about the guy or gal, whoever, suffering.
Ron, thanks for the call. Austin, Ron, not particularly concerned with the humaneness of capital punishment.
So, again, I can understand that view and that way of thinking about the death penalty. And I certainly respect people who are angry and indignant, as we all ought to be, about heinous crimes. But I think there's another thing that we all need to think about, And that is, as a society and as a country, we have a commitment, and that commitment is to the avoidance of cruel and unusual punishment. And that's a kind of test for us. And indeed, one could say that the test of any society is how it responds to evil. And a good society finds a way to respond to evil that doesn't replicate it, that doesn't really just do it again in a different form. It's hard to resist the temptation to punish in ways that make us resemble in some way the people who we are punishing. And I think that's the question that we need to think about with respect to all of our punishments, but especially with respect to capital punishment. We don't burn down the home of an arsonist because they've committed arson. It's not clear to me that justice requires that we should kill those who kill.
Austin, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's Austin Sarrett, William Nelson Cromwell Professor of Jurisprudence and Political Science at Amherst College. He's the author of the book Gruesome Spectacles, Botched Executions and America's Death Penalty. Joins us today to talk about Attorney General Barr reinstating the death penalty at the federal level.